Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to welcome you all to Center Friends this pretty summer morning. We're going to begin our worship service by standing and singing hymn 639, Since Jesus Came Into My Heart. Into our hearts, and all we have to do is ask. Thank you for being that light that carries us through each and every day, and may we let your light shine through to each and every person that we come in contact with. Lord, thank you so much for each and every person here today and the families they represent. Open our hearts and minds to you and your word. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. So today we are very lucky to have Mr. Jake Penley with us. We tried to get him before. He is retired after 56 years in the ministry. He was at Glenwood Friends for part of that time. And he is staying busy, though, in his retirement. It sounds like he speaks a lot, so we're very glad to have him with us today. And he will be bringing our message this morning. I also noticed as I was walking, I'm sure you guys did too, all the farm-related VBS decorations, getting ready for Vacation Bible School. It looks so cute around here. So are there any other announcements we need to make and add on to Bible School?
Thank you, Martha Jo, for the cute decorations. She's texted me about that. I was like, yes, please. I'm not crafty, and it looks really cute. So thank you so much to Martha Jo for that. Bible school is going to be next Friday and Saturday. We're getting really excited. I was going to stand up and beg for more volunteers from the nursery, but that need got filled this morning, which is just a blessing, and so I think we're going to be ready. A couple things. If you have any water fun stuff, if you could please let me know and bring it this week. I'm talking about baby pools and maybe some sprinklers. If anybody has that kind of stuff, if you will let me know, that would be helpful. And I do have a music CD for every family that is going to come, so if you are if you know that you're going to come, please get a CD from Amanda at We Friends or from me after church. And if you have family members or neighbors that are going to come, but they're not here today, please get a CD for them so the kids can be practicing the songs this week. And if we could have a quick meeting of anybody that's going to help with Bible school, if you could just meet me down front right after a meeting just for a few minutes, that would be great. Thank you.
Any other announcements? I encourage you to take a look at your bulletin. Now we've got a Quakerman Ice Cream Social coming up on August 17th. And also a Reconnect event on Saturday, August 24th. It will be at Grand Arbor Farm, which is where our live nativity was at. A beautiful farm area there with the Coltranes. And so we're going to have some kickball and some cookouts. So it'll be a lot of fun. So we encourage you all to come. If you don't want to do kickball, you can bring your favorite board game and they'll have an area for that set up. So we hope you all can come out to that fun event. Are there any others?
One other thing I'll mention is that I failed to include in the bulletin, was really full, it just went right in my head. It's the baseball game, it's August 9th. On Friday, the time sheet is in the foyer. It's a Friday night ball game in Greensboro, and we have fireworks afterwards, so please sign up if you're interested in coming. If we get enough people as we have the last 2 days, we'll get discount tickets. So it's a lot of fun, so please sign up if you're interested.
We need the Quaker men to have a short meeting down front right after worship.
Quaker men down front after meeting.
And one more announcement. Several of our young friends committed to an afternoon of service here this past week and did just a wonderful job. Areas of concentration were the two pews out front. They were repainted by some lovely young friend ladies who didn't waste any paint, who cleaned up the paint brushes. I'm so proud of them. And then over in front of the parsonage, you'll note that there were several shrubs that had gotten out of control and a couple of trees that needed to take down, and so we got those down. And the old garbage house out here looks brand new because we semi-pressure washed it. So many thanks to all the young friends who came out on their day afternoon of service and helped out with that.
Yeah, I think the youth had a great week this week, so that's good. Okay, if there aren't any others, we'll have the... Oh, Paul?
If anybody needs a tomato sandwich this week, go get the foyer. Look in there. There's a bunch of tomatoes. I know I brought some, but somebody else brought a whole bunch more than I did. So go get you some tomatoes and get you a tomato sandwich.
All right, thanks. Okay, if our ushers will come forward to receive our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for giving hearts and the giving of time and money and support to this meeting over all the years. It's kept it going for many, many years, Lord, and we just thank you for that. And we thank you that we are able to use our resources to further your kingdom and the love that you have here on this earth. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. Good morning. Oh boy, yes. Okay. I've got two things here that are going to help us get ready for what's happening next weekend. Does anybody know what's happening next Friday and Saturday?
Christmas.
It's probably going to be almost as awesome as Christmas. It's going to be our Bible school, and we're going to have Bible school here at church on Friday night and Saturday, and then we're going to do a little something special on Sunday morning. And to help us get ready for Bible school, I need us to talk about this. What is this?
A present.
It makes us think of Christmas because it looks like it has
some
Christmas wrapping paper. I wonder what's in here. Do you guys like getting presents? When do we get presents?
At Christmas.
Or
your birthday.
At birthday?
Birthday.
At your birthday? Uh-huh.
My birthday.
Oh, really? When is your birthday?
December 27th.
Oh, wow. Okay. So Christmas and birthday close together. That's awesome.
He was born late.
Uh-huh.
He was supposed to be
at
Christmas.
Okay.
Like right on.
Ah, fun. Let's see. Now, when you get a present, what do you like to do with it before you open it? Do you ever shake it?
Yeah.
Tell it something's in here?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Do you open your present slowly, or do you rip all the paper off?
Rip all the paper off.
Rip all the paper off. So you open them really fast, right?
We have to eat cupcakes.
You've got to eat your cupcakes and then open. All right. Well, guess what? I think we're going to have cupcakes at Bible school, too. So that's going to be awesome. So, guys, guess what? Gabe, guess what? It's a little bit sad. We are not going to open this present. We're not going to open it today. We're going to have to wait. Okay? But you have some homework about presents. I want you guys to think about the best present that you have ever gotten. Okay? That's your homework this week to get ready for Bible school. And then at Bible school, you're going to tell me, what is the best present you ever got. Okay? And when you come to Bible school on Friday night, if you have some good cowboy and cowgirl clothes, you can wear them because...
I got a jack boot.
Yeah. Cowboy hats, cowboy boots, cowgirl boots.
I always have jack boots.
I don't have any, but I have jack boots. That's fine. If you have it, you can wear it because we're going to do some barrel racing and we're going to do some kind of horse games. And we're going to have a lot of fun, okay?
I don't have a jacket, but we can get you some.
Yeah, okay, so you don't have to go out and buy anything special, but if you have something, you can wear it when we do our horsey fun at Bible school, okay? Now, another thing that I need your help with today is that we're going to do our FEMAP collection, and so it's almost time for school to start, and for some families, it's really hard for them to get the stuff that they need for school, and so we're going to try to help them by collecting some school supplies that basically everybody needs when they go to school, okay? So, your homework is, wear your cowboy and cowgirl clothes if you have it on Friday, think about your favorite present, and come to Bible school next Friday and Saturday, okay? All right, and if you can, please come over here to the wagon, and we're gonna work together to get bags and collect our FEMAP supplies.
Thank you.
Jake, that seems like it's taking a lot longer today. I'm not sure why, but that's so sweet. Let's take a moment and remember our prayer requests and concerns. If you all will remember Justin's grandfather, he's having some heart trouble, is in Cone Hospital right now. They may have to stop his heart and restart it tomorrow to try to get it back into rhythm. So if you all can just keep him in your prayers, his mom, Marcia, that comes from time to time, it's his, her father. So his name is Wayne Knight. And are there any others to add to our list?
He's got his lymph glands, and he's going to have a biopsy on Thursday.
Thank you. What was his name?
His name is Preston Ryan.
And he's on that back.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, Rick's in Knoxville Thursday.
I have a request, Katie, or Barbara Smith. Is going to be having a heart catheterization this Tuesday morning. So if we could please remember her in prayer.
Any others?
Okay. If not, we will go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you so much for being the ultimate healer and the ultimate comforter when we are in times of struggle and times of hardship. Lord, we lift these prayer concerns up to you today, the medical procedures, the test, the sickness, Lord. We just put it all in your hands. And if need be, Lord, just comfort each and every person. Let them feel your arms around them and feel close to your heart, as well as their family members and the people that are going through it with them. Lord, we just ask that you lift each and every person up, as well as their family and this church, Lord, and just help for us to all lean on you and to trust in you for your guidance and your healing. For it is in your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. choir for singing my song. Good morning, folks. It's good to be at Center Friends this morning. It's good to see all these happy faces and a good number of people that are here. Charlie and I were talking before the service today that, you know, over the years we've seen tremendous changes in church, especially among friends. Charlie was telling me, and I remember, Charlie, when we first went into ministry, that Center had a large attendance, and you still have a good attendance, and we're certainly glad that you have come this way this morning. As it said, I retired, or I was supposed to retire a year ago this past June, and I not quite preached as many sermons as I normally do, but I preached quite a few times, and I've had the opportunity to travel and to visit some of the other friends' meetings, whereas in the past, it was an impossibility to do so because I was a pastor of a meeting. I appreciate your pastor that you have. Tommy is under the care of the recording committee, which I'm a part of, and I'm here to tell you that Tommy is doing a good job. He is doing a lot of hard work, and probably further along than any of our other candidates at this point. And so we appreciate Tommy, and we appreciate the ministry that he has here at Center. And it's good to see Ginger here. We go back a long way, don't we? A real long way. But it's good to see you. I know over the years I've had the privilege of knowing and fellowshipping with many of your ministers. In fact, the first minister that I recall at Center was Algie Newland. And he was here quite a few years. Albert Newman, I'm sorry. There's an Algie Newland too, but Albert Newland. I remember him when I was just a teenager and coming to Quaker Lake and enjoying the activities of Quaker Lake. You are blessed to be close to a place called Quaker Lake. Some of us have to travel a good distance, and especially for me now, I live right on the ridge of the Blue Ridge Mountains. And I look out my front door and I can see the Blue Ridge all around me. And certainly enjoy that, especially in the summertime, but in the wintertime, pretty tough. It's pretty tough. My ministry since I've retired as a pastor is to be an encourager, to encourage other people, meetings, that God is still on the throne. He still loves us. He's never changed. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. And the same God that we've served in the past is the same God that we serve today. So we need to take heart that we have a great God and that we are called to serve Him. Our scripture is taken this morning from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. And if you'll take time when you get home, don't do it now because it's pretty long. But look at chapter 40 and look how the writer talks about the greatness of God. How good God is, and then there's no way to compare God to mankind. In fact, over in verse 15 of chapter 40, we find that the writer says that man is as a drop in a bucket or of a bucket compared to God. And that meaning was not in the bucket, but just of the bucket. So trying to compare God is a great, great task for all of us today. I just want you to know that when Jesus came into my heart, He's the same Jesus that's there today. I love Him more, and He's done so much for me in my everyday life. And I would not trade the life God's given to me for anything in this world. He's been good to me. And I just want to share some things this morning and I think that might be of help to us and encourage us. We're living in perilous times. We're living in an age where the Church of Jesus Christ has been assaulted by this world, by the prince of this world. And as a consequence of that, we've seen a lot of things that are certainly discouraging. But we need to be encouraged because of who God is. Beginning with verse 28 through the remainder of the chapter, which is only verse 31, notice what the writer says in consideration of who God is. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint and be weary, and the young to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall fail or faint and be weary. And the young men shall utterly fall. But the key to this reading is verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you today for the privilege we have to open your word and to share from your word words of encouragement, words of instruction, and yes, Lord, words of how to live the Christian life. And we're so grateful today that we have this opportunity. For this we pray in Jesus' name, amen. The writer in Isaiah, as I said, was talking about the greatness of God, the goodness of God, how that God, in his omnipotent power and his grace that he extends to mankind, has given us great and marvelous things for us to consider. And today I want to talk about what it means to be an eagle Christian. To be an eagle Christian. Because in verse 31, notice what the writer says. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. I don't know about you, but I've had the privilege to observe eagles. Last summer, we were out in Glacier National Park, and high up on the mountains, you could see eagles everywhere. Magnificent birds of prey. And as you watch those eagles, you saw the majesty of this bird. Just like the lion is to the animal kingdom, the eagle is the same to the bird kingdom. The eagle, if you'll observe the eagle, you'll find that there are characteristics that the eagle has that other birds do not have. And I'd like to share some of the characteristics of the eagle this morning and compare it to what we Christians ought to be and what we ought to take advantage of. First of all, look at the habits of the eagle. The eagle is a bird that builds its nest in the highest tree or on the highest crag on a mountaintop. And that eagle is one that always looks out in the distance from him. He can see not only up close, but far away as well. And so the eagle is one that builds his nest in the mountains and in the treetops. Job puts it like this. He says, doth the eagle mount up at thy command, speaking about the Lord, and make her nest on high. So Job refers to the eagle. 32 times in Scripture, the word eagle is mentioned. And some of the things that has to do with eagles. It said, she dwelleth and abideth on the rock, upon the crag of the rock and the strong place. God promises to set you and me on high places. He never intended for us to stay in the valley all the time. He wants us to experience some mountaintop experiences in our life. And as Christians, we have a lot to praise God for, don't we? God's been good to us. He's blessed us. The psalmist made this statement. He spoke of the rock that is higher than I in Psalm 61:2. There is a rock in a high place that is a safe refuge for God's people. God has promised us to put our feet on that rock. And that rock is the security, the assurance, and the safety for Christians today. We have a great God, as I've mentioned before. And we have one that we can turn to in our times of need. And I noticed on your prayer list that there are many that you have listed that needs a special touch from the Lord. And certainly God is able to touch our bodies and to make us well. So not only does the eagle habit one that looks to a high place for his nest. But the second habit of the eagle is that of rising above the storms of life. When I was out in Montana and Canada last summer, you could look way up in the sky and you could see those eagles soaring. They were certainly magnificent in their appearance. The eagle takes advantage of the wind to soar, to mount up high in the heavens. The eagles get above the fog and the mist and the clouds. And there is a lesson there for us, that God intends for us to soar above the problems in this life, above the mist and above the fog and above the problems that we face. Too often times, as a result of not seeing beyond the present, we become discouraged and we sometimes want to give up. I had a friend a number of years ago who was a member of our meeting where I was pastoring, a young man, very young. In my estimation, he might be in his 40s to me, that's a kid. But he had a great job. He worked with U.S. Air. He had been with them ever since he'd gotten out of school. Had a wife, had a fine son, had a great family. And sickness struck this young man. And it seemed like that every time he turned around, something else would happen in his life. He loved the Lord. He really loved the Lord and was very faithful to the church. But one day after many experiences being in the hospital and worrying about his job, he went down to what we call the Yadkin River Park on the Yadkin River. He was a police officer. And he sat down at a picnic table, took out his revolver, and shot himself in his head. Of course, he died instantly. He left a note for his wife. And the note simply said, "I can't get over the problems that's facing my life." He needed to look beyond. Today, there are dozens of people every day who commit suicide in America. They leap out into the utter darkness with a cry of hopelessness on their lips. They lose sight of the stars. One thing that we need to do every day of our life is to be sure we keep our eyes on Jesus Christ, because He is our source. He is our strength. He is our help in times of need. David remembered this promise on one occasion. David was a great warrior. He was a great leader for the children of Israel, and they had won many battles in life. But there was a time in David's life when the enemy came in and destroyed his hometown and the villages around him. And people were suffering. David was suffering. People were complaining as well, saying to David, "You are our leader. Why have we experienced such difficulties in our lives?" And David was down. He was down. But the Bible said, David said, he encouraged himself in the Lord in 1 Samuel chapter 30. And as he encouraged himself in the Lord, he was renewed like the eagle. And as a result of that, David arose, organized his soldiers, organized his people, and they went out and fought the enemy and won the victory. Every day of your life, in my life, there could be some battles that we feel like we're losing. But remember this, what the Apostle Paul said. He says, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Now, look again at the eagle. Think of what the eagle does about his enemies. And I like this. And the eagle, as he's as being studied, and of course, the eagle had enemies. And what did he do when he was faced by his enemies? He simply soared out of their reach. He put himself between them and the sun. And they tell us that the eagle, the way to elude the enemy, is that he will fly directly into the light of the sun. And as he does that, he blinds the enemy. They can't see him. And today, in thinking about a victorious Christian, what it means to be an eagle Christian, you and I, when we are confronted by the enemy, and we are confronted by the enemy perhaps every day of our life, we need to do like the eagle. We need to fly toward the sun. We need to fly directly in the light of the Son, which I'm talking about the Son of God, as Christians, that people, when they are tempted, when they are seemingly ready to be defeated, what we need to do is fly and soar toward the Son. The fourth habit of the eagle is how she cares for her young. And folks, today, we can all learn a lesson from the eagle when it comes to their family. The church family, Christian families, there is a responsibility. There is a way to be victorious for Jesus Christ as far as our family is concerned. The eagle mates for life. And not only do they mate for life, but they care for their young. And if you'll see a video or a picture of the eagle, you'll find that they are very, very attentive to the baby eaglets. There comes a time in the life of those babies when they are born in that nest up on that precipice or on the crags of the mountains, that the mother eagle, there comes a time and she knows it, that she'll stir up the nest. In other words, she begins to shake the nest up. And as she shakes that nest up, what she's really doing is, she's simply saying to those babies, "All right, it's time for you to learn how to fly." And eventually, as she shakes the nest up and as she nudges those babies toward the edge of the nest, she eventually pushes them out. And when she pushes them out, that's not the end of it, because those little babies are probably not strong enough for the wind that they are being buffeted by. The eagle will watch those babies, and when she sees that probably they're in trouble, she will swoop down, spread her wings, and she'll catch those baby eaglets on her wings, and she'll bring them back up to the nest. And that is a process day after day after day when she begins to stir up the nest. God does that for us, doesn't he? There's times in our lives when we feel like we can't go on. We feel like that we are a failure. We feel like that we just are not able to continue the things that we feel we ought to be doing. But it's when we realize our desperation and when we cry out to the Lord, He's always faithful. Reach down and pick us up under His wings. So the eagle teaches us the lesson of responsibility to our family. There are so many things that catches our eye as Christians. And God gives His people the power to see life through His eyes, and we need to do that. We can see sin as He sees it. We can see goodness and love and truth as He sees them. You see, as people, we don't have the eyesight sometimes as we need. And the mother eagle has to look out for her young. We have to look out for one another as Christians. I have a responsibility of being a friend's minister for the years I've served him. I don't feel like I've hung up my hammer and whatever it is, my instruments of work. But God has called me to keep on doing what I need to be doing for Him. He calls the churches, He calls the meetings, gives them that responsibility as well. And then the eagle inherits a longing to be free. An eagle was born to be free. Eagles never flock. You never see a flock of eagles like you do geese and ducks and birds. But eagle always has the appearance of being free. And as a result of that, that eagle knows what it means to soar. He knows what it means to live above the problems in this world. The eagle is an independent creature and does not want to be caged. He wants to be free. He must be free. We as Christians must be free. We don't need to be bound by, and I know Quakers are notorious about our tradition, and thank God for it. There are so many things that has been left us by our forefathers. But God wants us to be free in spirit. He wants us to soar. He wants us to do the thing, the freedom that we need to serve Him. It can be, but this freedom can be bartered away. These privileges can be bartered away. This was true with Jacob and Esau, wasn't it? Esau came in one day and he was hungry. He had been hunting. And he wanted, and Jacob was noted to be a cook. I'm not much of a cook, but Jacob was. And he told Jacob, he said, "You know, I'm starving to death. Give me something to eat." And of course, you know, Jacob, the word Jacob means heel grabber, surplanter. Jacob said, "I will, but you've got to give me your birthright. You got to give up your freedom. You got to give up your privilege." And Esau, of course, did that. He sold his birthright for a bowl of porridge. Too many times as Christians today, we want to give up things that God has given us in our lives. Heard a story about a rancher on one occasion out in mid-Texas. He had a big ranch, and he loved to go out, look at his cattle. And he said one day as he was out observing his cattle, he saw a large eagle swoop down not too far from where he was standing. And with his talons, he picked up a rattlesnake. And that eagle began to soar in the air, and as he watched the eagle and that snake constantly was biting, continuously biting that eagle. And eventually, that mighty eagle began to drop and drop until eventually he hit the ground dead from the poison, the venom that he had received from that snake. You know, I believe it's possible, and Quakers have always stood to this, that it's possible for us, if we turn our backs on God, we can lose the freedoms and the liberties and the privileges as God says that we can have. In fact, Romans 6:23 says, speaking about sin, and it says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, is eternal life. And this morning, we need to look at something else concerning the eagle. The eagle inherits a substance, and folks, forgive me, I have to watch my time. The older I get, the longer-winded I become. The eagle inherits a substance on his beak that hinders him eventually from flight. And when that eagle realizes that that substance on his beak is hindering his flight and his ability to hunt and to perform as he ought to, he'll fly to a rock or something very hard, and he'll beat his beak against that rock until that substance begins to flow off. And then when that fly, it comes off, then he's able to fly and do the things he needs to do. Paul talks about the sin that so easily besets us. Don't kid yourself, and I know it's true in my life. I have to battle the temptations of Satan, and you do too. But we must be willing to not allow the sins of this world take right away in our hearts and lives. And in closing, we need to remind ourselves of this. If we are eagle Christians, we need to remind ourselves is that God intends for us to live a life that's full and fulfilling. And not only that, when we find ourselves burdened down with the weight of problems and heartaches and sickness or whatever, we need to remember that God has made us for the purpose of flying, soaring. We need to remember that we were made for the heights. You were made by God and for God. Your will never finds satisfaction or peace until your life is yielded to Him. The eagle inherits long life. It's known for living many, many years. And even as the eagle ages, he does something that renews his appearance. And that is, he will take, if there are feathers on that eagle that are not, you know, a worn or broken, that eagle will pluck those feathers out of them, and new feathers will come. I'm not saying we got feathers, but I'm saying there are times in our lives when we need to be sure that we are where God wants us to be. I remind you again of this verse of Scripture, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Aren't you glad today to know that God intended for us to be victorious? He intended for us never to live always in a valley. Thank the Lord for the valleys, but thank Him for those mountaintops. God never intended for you to live below His plan or purpose in your life. Instead, He intended for you, like the eagle, to live your life free from the sins of this world. And we need to close with this thought about the Apostle Paul. When he said, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. Isn't that wonderful? Eagle Christians, we need to be encouraged today. Would you stand with me? I'm sorry, I got another song.
They're not going to sing Jake the Clatter.
We can sit down for a minute and pray on Jake's word.
I was invited to go on the youth beach trip on Friday because I had a special talent that they needed, you see, bus driver. So I got to drive the bus, but I learned a lot of things in that beach trip on Friday. I learned how to very tactfully and artfully play a water ball while playing putt-putt. I learned that the ladies that went with us, when everything seemed to really calm down at the table, they knew just when and where to spill a drink. But the other things that I observed and learned this week were these young people have a heart for the hands and feet of Jesus. They came to the meeting on Monday and they fixed meals and they delivered them in probably some inclement weather to the homeless people on the street. On Tuesday, they went and they helped pass out meals for people who didn't have the means to go to the grocery store like we do every week and buy our groceries. Wednesday they went to FEMAP and helped out there. And then on Thursday they helped out around the beach. I say all that to say that we're in good hands here at Center with our young people. And even our little people that are coming up. But I think we as adults and the leader of this meeting need to encourage, pray, and lead these young people. Tell them how much we love them. Because if we don't, they can surely find another place to be. They can find things to do and people that will encourage them and will tell them. So that's just some things I learned from our young people this week, and I hope we as a meeting continue to love them, lead them, and encourage them to be the hands and feet of Jesus.
Thank you, Keith. He had to slip out, but what he said is so true. We do have a great group of young people, and they really did a lot of good things this week, and they do a lot of good things for this meeting very often, so we are so blessed to have them. And it was so wonderful to hear Jake speak today. Jake, thank you again for being with us and for those very powerful words and that message. We are going to close today by standing and singing 458, Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated.
Thank you. today that we have come together in this place to give thanks and to give glory to your precious name. Thank you for Center Fringe Meeting and for every person that attends this place. We pray for a special blessing and a special anointing that you will bestow upon everyone that calls on the name of Jesus and identifies ourselves that we are a believer and that we are followers of Christ. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.